I've worked in rock and roll all my life, doing, you know, that kind of miking up singers and stuff like that.
What's what you're doing now? Someone's going to make a meme out of that, like.
The thumbnail. Yeah. Just me holding, like, a zucchini or something like that.
Welcome to That Tattoo Show, a weekly YouTube chat show and podcast
in a magazine format.
It combines feature conversations,
how-to guides and personal stories
into about 45 minutes of solution-based entertainment
for tattooists of all levels.
Streaming everywhere, every Sunday.
Anyone can teach you to tattoo.
And that's why That Tattoo Show is all about all the things you have to learn
afterwards. We're here to offer professional advice and insight to help you find the best gear
and understand and navigate the often difficult world of being a professional tattooist
and everything that comes with it.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Chris.
I've nicknamed this show Past, Present and Future because I think that's kind of the theme of this week's show. You see, I want to talk to you about the show's past. I want to talk to you about the show's present. And later in the show, I'll be having a conversation with Chris about the future. Now, not the future of the show, but the future of tattooing generally after my experiences at the Brighton Tattoo Convention this year. And all of that is coming up shortly. But first...
What is happening? So first up in the news, Eternal Ink have finally brought out their Reach compliant range of colours. It has been a long time in the making, but they've come out with a new range called Apex. Now, judging by their posts on social media, it is looking like this stuff is going to be ready to purchase in April. I'm for one, I'm very much looking forward to trying it out. I've tried a few different Reach inks. And some are good, some are bad. You know, it's like that thing, that meme.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
More ink news. Our good friend Rob, he's also announced that his Reach ink is going to be ready very, very soon. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what that's like. And it's nice to see that other brands are starting to come out. But what I will say is it does beg the question if a long time company like Eternal and a company like Electrum have spent so much time making these pigments, how was everyone else able to get them out so quickly? Were corners cut, or are the rumors true that some of the brands have actually watered down their colors? Now, in a perfect world, we would love to get some funding so we could do an independent test just to make sure that the colors are Reach compliant, but we're not at that level just yet. Maybe in the future we can do it, who knows. If you haven't seen it, I did do an unboxing of a wireless tattoo machine called the ARX. Now that is a fairly well priced machine for what you get with it, and following on from that, it does look like another brand has come out with a budget friendly machine. Prime Tattoo Supplies, which I believe is part of the Nexus Tattoo group, I've come out with a new machine. It's called Prime Pen. Now with that, you get a critical battery that has a critical warranty. It has the same connector as the Torque, so you can put a Torque battery on and so on, or the critical V3. It also has a motor, which is the same one that is used in the Michelangelo. So it's like a collaboration of Critical and Bishop and Prime to come up with a very, very affordable tattoo machine for all of us. Because in my opinion, like I always say, like, you know, you get what you pay for. However, I do think companies are taking the piss when it comes to a lot of the pricing of the machines, especially when you know how much they cost to make. Now, for example, a brand that I'm not going to mention the name of sell their machines, their wireless ones, for like, say, £1,000 or £1,200. And I know that that machine probably costs less than $200 to make because I've been able to purchase one for $400. So it does beg the question, are they taking the piss out of us? Hopefully companies are going to start listening and, you know, maybe they start reducing the costs because it is getting a bit out of hand. Next bit of news is Zoil. Now, if you don't know who Zoil is a fantastic graphic tattoo artist. He's been on the scene for years. He, I would say, unexpectedly to a lot of people, announced his retirement from tattooing. He put a video up on his social media. I'll put all the links below. He's no longer going to be tattooing, but he is starting a new venture, and all that will be linked below so you can see what he's doing and give him your support. But yeah, sorry to hear that you're leaving the industry. And the last bit of news that I've got for you guys, and this is very, very dear to my heart, is I have been a massive fan of Fallout. I've been playing the game since 2008, and Amazon have been working on a new TV series, and that is a live action Fallout series. I am very much excited. I've been very critical of this, and I've been following it all the way through its production, and so far everything that I've seen, they have stayed very much true to the aesthetics and the story and everything about Fallout. So really excited, coming out in April. If you haven't heard of it, give it a watch. It's going to be class. If you haven't played the game, play the game. It is wicked. And what I'm going to be doing, just because I was bored the other day and I started doing some drawing, I've drawn up a Fallout sheet or flash, more just for me, just to do some practicing, really, because, you know, it's good to do that every now and then. Now, obviously, you know my stance on copyright infringement. I'm not going to be selling these, but what I will be doing is every single one of our members will be able to download a free copy of that sheet of flash once it is finished. So there we go. And that's me done. This is the news, and back over to me and Paul. Take it easy.
That Tattoo Show, or more specifically the show that we affectionately call the Sunday Show, is coming up to its fourth birthday. And to celebrate, I suppose, we've been making some changes to the show to better reflect where we want to take it moving forward. If you're new to the channel, you may think that that's a bit of an odd thing to be doing, planning the show and creating the format once you've actually been making it for a few years. And of course, you'd be right, but there's actually a very good reason why we didn't plan anything to do with the show 4 years ago. And that's because That Tattoo Show was born out of boredom. We were in lockdown, stuck in our houses, worrying about our businesses just like everyone else, when we decided that to take our mind off the whole sorry situation, we'd make a podcast. It was only supposed to be for a month or so, so we never made any proper plans. We didn't even give it a real name or anything. We just made it and chucked it out. It was pretty rough at first, and we were pretty crappy presenters, to be honest with you. But we were having a good time in lockdown, so it didn't matter. Then people started watching. It seems like all of a sudden we had a podcast that was becoming a thing, so we tried to get better at everything, and slowly we improved. The restrictions of lockdown had accidentally created a way of doing the show. Recording remotely and then editing the show together afterwards as if we were in the same room. The conversations were edited to feel real and flow properly, and it seemed pretty good, but we didn't have anything to really compare it to until we recorded in London last year. Chris had accidentally formatted his card with some footage on it that we needed, so we had to record a show in London on a Sunday morning to replace the one we recorded earlier that week. It was a mad scramble and a bit of a nightmare, to be honest with you, but when I came to edit it, I was really surprised. It felt real and very natural and much better than the conversations I'd been cutting up to that point. Now I had something to compare the show to. So me and Chris had a conversation about it, and we decided to start getting together in the same room as soon as we possibly could. 2023 was a rough year for the show and for us, so it took a little while, but eventually we got it figured out, and we thought we'd be okay to start recording conversations at my studio in the Midlands in January of 2024. Since then, we've recorded a couple of times and produced a couple of shows, but neither of us was 100% convinced. What we discovered was that the old format that was born out of restrictions, the restriction of not being able to travel to each other's studios, actually had some merits that we didn't want to let go of. You see, we're not TV presenters. So after a lot of discussion, we decided to keep the original magazine format of the show. That's what it's been since pretty much the beginning. This format will give Chris the ability to do weekly news from his studio. And I'll be adding an editor's note to each show in the form of a short 5-minute thought for the week. And we're going to record the main conversation of the show in the same room together as planned. We're hoping that this mix of past and present versions of the show will be the future of That Tattoo Show. But I guess you'll be the judge of that. So let us know your thoughts in the comments down below. And let us know what you think of this new format. But give us a couple of weeks to get the hang of it, you know? We are making it up as we go along, after all. And that, my friends, is my first show note, my first thought for this new era of the show. Era sounds quite grandiose, doesn't it? We're just making some changes based on stuff we have done and stuff we want to do to make something that we think will be, or at least we hope that you'll agree with us, that it's the best of all worlds. This format will give Chris the ability to do weekly news, so up-to-date news rather than month-old news, which will be much better, I think. And it will give me the opportunity to inject some of the more editorial thought for the week type of stuff that I want to add to the show that is sometimes lost in the conversations. And I guess mostly because we're not TV presenters, we may not struggle in the future, but we're currently struggling to maintain or to manage all of the stuff. You know, we're looking at three cameras, so we're always looking at the wrong camera at the minute, and we haven't really got a script because we don't really like to script anything. But then you have to remember all of the bits of the show. We're just not very good at it at the minute. So I'm sure we will get better at it, and I mean both of us would like to get to the point where we could do the show completely live at some point. We're a little way away from that, and that doesn't matter how many nice cameras that you buy and how many nice microphones that you get. The limitation at the moment is us. We're doing our best as we find our feet in this new format, so, and hopefully this will be good enough, and we hope that you'll agree with us that this is a good step forward, and it's got all of the merits of the previous versions of the show and some new stuff that makes the show better and more entertaining for you guys, because that's what it's all about, because the show's nothing without you lot. Let us know in the comments down below, see what you think of this new style show and the new style conversations. And talking of new style conversation, it's time for this week's conversation, where I ask Chris, is tattooing actually fucked?
As you know, I've recently been to the Brighton to work the convention, and there was a lot of conversation around the convention. Woody, for disclosure here, because you might think I'm being easy on Woody and the convention, and I'm going to hold my hands up and go, yes, you're going to be absolutely right. Woody is a mate of mine, so I'm not going to give him a hard time, because I do think one of the things I admire about Woody's show in Brighton is that they are very brave. The politest way I can put it this year is I think that this year's Brighton was a bit of a misstep, right? But there was a lot of conversation about it. Woody decided to focus on the new breed of tattooists, the younger tattooists, the shops that are appearing, that have appeared in the last few years, that are 21st century tattoo shops, where tattooing's going. But, and we're not here to discuss that, because I think that will sort, you know, that we'll find out where that goes. I think there was enough there to make me go, well, look, maybe that's where tattooing's going. Maybe this show could be a great showcase for that. Let's see what happens. It's too early to say with that. I don't think it's a show that will involve tattooists like me in the future. I think it's going somewhere very, very different. I think it's too early to say right or wrong. But one of the things that I noticed is a lot of these younger tattooists, or the newer tattooists, or the people that are being noticed now.
The turkey teeth people.
Yeah, I mean, turkey teeth would seem to be a denominator in at least some of these people. I think private educations might also be a denominator in it. And middle-class upbringing might also be a common thread. I'm not sure. Can't say that for definite.
So what you're saying is...
They would certainly
entitled think, people.
I don't think they're entitled, no. I just think they come from a different place than me. And so that I naturally treat people like that with a little bit of suspicion. Don't think I'm having a go at people like that, because I think, you know, your upbringing and your background shouldn't be any hindrance to you. If you know, but I have a natural tendency to be a bit like that. And this was something that, this is part, forms my question really. So my natural reaction to that was, fuck this and fuck these people. What the fuck is this? Tattoo studios that have got branding that look like Tony and Guy, you know, wanky London fucking bollocks, nonsense fucking tattoos that look like they've been done by two-year-olds, you know, and all that. And I went, hang on a minute, stop for a second. This is where tattoo fashion is going. This is where tattooing is evolving.
Well, that's the thing, fashion trends fucking stop, Denise. So.
They do, but like some of them don't, right? So some of these things become part of the canon of tattooing and they find their place, right? And so I don't want to be one of those tattooists as I get older just going, no, it's not like it was in my day and it's all shit. I want to give these people the benefit of the doubt. And if they're going to make mistakes, they need to make mistakes under their own steam. And they don't need me doing it. So my question to you is, one of the things I noticed that seems to be common with a lot of the tattooists that are coming through, they really brand their studios, heavily, heavily branded, so they look like hairdressers. Or, you know, or fashion brands. I, obviously, with my background, I'm going to interpret this as gentrification. It's not necessarily that. It feels like that to me, but maybe it's not. All of these very, you know, little Helvetica logos on things and all of that. I have an inherent hatred of that stuff because it represents something very, very different to me.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I love the font and all that sort of stuff.
So I was looking at
But I understand typography very deeply. It's part of what I did for a very, very long time and still do. Used incorrectly and overused, Helvetica is no better than Comic Sans.
Yeah.
And I think that, unfortunately, like, there is an argument that you could say about stuff like that, that that has now been so overused by so much stuff that it actually represents oppression and populist governments and politics.
It's the real thing, period. Coke, period. In Helvetica, period. Any questions? Of course not. Drink Coke, period. Simple.
Governments and corporations love Helvetica because, on one hand, it makes them seem neutral and efficient, but also it's the smoothness of the letters makes them seem almost human. That is a quality they all want to convey because, of course, they have the image they're always fighting that they are authoritarian, they're bureaucratic, you lose yourself in them, they're oppressive. So instead, by using Helvetica, they can come off seeming more accessible, transparent, and accountable, which are all the buzzwords for what corporations and governments are supposed to be today.
No, it's actually, Helvetica was a good typeface at the time. It really answered the demand, but now it's become one of those defaults that you're telling an audience this is for you by using a certain typographic voice.
If Helvetica was the typeface of the Vietnam War, what's the typeface of this war?
The Iraqi War?
Yeah.
Helvetica. Same time period. I mean, it's the same, it repeated. That's why we're there. Helvetica caused it.
I mean, that doesn't say caffeinated. That's just like, hello?
Why not?
It's just sitting there. There's nothing caffeinated about it. There's nothing extramarital about that. There's no sunshine here.
If I see a brochure now with lots of white space that has, you know, like six lines of Helvetica up on the top and a little, you know, sort of like abstract logo on the bottom and a picture of a businessman walking somewhere, the overall communication that says to me is, do not read me, because I will bore the shit out of you.
The problem is, when I see stuff branded that way now, I see Orwell, I see George Orwell. Mm. It's like Chris was drinking a bottle of Huel earlier, and it's got, I don't think it's Helvetica that they use on that, but it's a very black and white branding. Like, most people might see, oh, clean health drink, and I don't. I see consumerism, and I see control and over control of populations by governments and all of that sort of stuff and globalist monsters. So unfortunately, I have a very negative reaction to tattoo brands that are branded that way, because I see it as it looks like the government to me. You know what I mean? I know that's silly, right? But so I have a really negative reaction. So I had to. Because it looks like gentrification and overbranding and, like, middle classes who traditionally hate the fucking working classes coming in and just destroying tattooing. That is my gut reaction as a punk rocker from the 80s, right? And I don't think that's fair. So I want to give people a fair go. So I want to ask a fair question, because one of the things that I noticed about all of these guys is that, as well as having these very nicely decorated tattoo studios with very nice logos and all that sort of stuff, they all seem to have ranges of products that they sell, right? That are all similarly branded to my, you know, I mean, it makes me want to throw up in my mouth a little bit because of how they're done. But that's a, you know, it's a Paul thing, right? But I look at it and I go, hang on, look at it from another angle, right? So this is what I said to you earlier, was I'm always saying that I think tattooing would be better as an industry if it was industry owned and industry run.
Yeah.
Right? So surely, if these guys are the up and coming tattooists, and if this is where tattooing is going, surely this is what industry owned and industry looks like, industry owned and industry run looks like in the 21st century. Whether I like it or not is irrelevant, right? Surely.
Is it irrelevant?
I can't.
No, it's not irrelevant.
But am I not gatekeeping at that point? Going,
I think
you can't...
it needs to be gatekeeped to a degree because look at the state that it's in now.
What?
Do you mean?
What do you think? Do we need gatekeepers in tattooing? Like,
no, they need to. Like, so, like,
do, like, do we? Do, I mean, because I agree with you about that. There is.
I'm not saying it completely needs to be gatekeeped.
No.
But, I mean, but like, it needs a degree of gatekeeping because it's getting to a point.
To retain tattoos, cult. I mean, but is that not gatekeeping to stop people getting in?
Protecting.
Do you need to gatekeep it to keep the cultural identity of tattooing intact?
No, but they will always remain intact because what, like, so this is the thing. This is the way I look at it. You've got, like, what is very fashionable right now is fine line tattoos, right?
Yeah.
I went through the stage where every fucker wanted a fine line tattoo when I first started tattooing, right? And I do not give a fuck what anyone says, right? There's only so much needles can get better and there's only so much inks can improve, right? But when I was doing the fine line stuff was when the Cheyenne fucking pens first came out.
Yeah.
The needles I was using were fucking proper good quality. The inks I was using were good quality as well.
Yeah.
And they fucking, after a few years, like every fine line tattoo, they all ended up looking like a bag of shit. And that's why I just fucking don't bother with them.
Yeah.
So we're in a stage now where we've gone through a cycle. All this fine line bullshit is fucking fashionable right now because you've got, you know, untrained people from booty fucking salons fucking doing it. So then our tattooists then, you know, is it a case of these people that are from beauty salons are going into tattooing, trying to make tattoo studios look like the beauty salons, or are tattooists trying to compete with these beauty salons by making their studios look like those?
Well,
but either way, what
I mentioned this, hang on a sec, because I want to stay on that beauty point for a minute, because I mentioned this to a mate of mine the other day, and I'm pretty certain that they said to me that already in London studios, they've got beauticians in the tattoo studios now. That you can get your tattoo and your nails done at the same time.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of studios. I know, you know, someone who's done that, and that's just because his wife is a nail technician,
yeah,
and it was easier for them to be in the same shop.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is, what is going to happen? Like, there's a guy on Instagram. He's something, something the scratcher he is, right? He's like this fucking American dude, wears like fucking, he wears nurse's scrubs, and he is fucking chatting absolute shit. Like, the stuff he's going online fucking talking about tattooing, and it's all fucking, not all of it, but the majority of it's fucking wrong. I'm just looking at it going, well, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But he does all this fine line stuff. And then you've got other artists like him that are doing all the fine line stuff. And what's going to happen is, whilst this is fashionable right now, you know, everyone's going to be branding themselves to fit in, to attract those clientele. But when everyone realises, like, oh yeah, it actually still fucking heals up like fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's still going to look like a bag of shit in a couple of years' time. Single line fucking tattoos do not fucking heal well. They blow out and they fall out. Even if you use a three liner, they will fucking thicken up over time. You know, you've really got to have a specific skill set to be able to do these types of tattoos well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was going to say,
Beth does a great job, right?
I believe there are tattooists that can get them to hold.
No, but this is the thing, like, Beth does them really well. Yeah. She leaves the right amount of gaps.
Yeah, well, that's
the
point,
though. But you've got fucking people, right, that are doing these fine line tattoos. They're not putting enough gaps between the lines to allow for aging.
But do you not think, though, that that's because when you remove the gatekeeping element from something like tattooing, and you allow too many people in too quickly from all walks of life, you know, like, you've got beauticians just picking up machines and going, I'm now a tattooist, and like, nobody's there going, no, you're fucking not. Do you think that the problem with that is that as people come in, the quality, if you've got people who are not tattooists teaching people how to tattoo, eventually the skills start to disappear? Like I said to you the other day, like, in the last month, I've met a professional working tattooist who didn't know that you could make a line with a mag. Did not know.
It's a fucking blind leading the blind, man.
Like, now, in case you don't know, and believe me, you fucking should, this is something that, like, this is like day two lesson of tattooing, right? A mag needle, right? Now, I don't use curved mags because curved mags are Satan and they're stupid. It's like you just have a better technique. Like, if you got
curved mags are great for black and grey, man. He just doesn't. He's just fucking.
You just don't know them. If you got good technique,
you don't do smooth shading.
If you don't, if you got good technique, you don't need curved mags. They're for pussies. You can't shave properly, because the benefit that you get when you use a proper mag, a man's mag, is that you get a corner.
Well, hang on, right? No. Magnums are non-gender specific.
Are they not gender specific?
They're non-gender specific.
Well, I'm claiming
they're gender neutral.
I'm claiming
they're gender neutral.
The non-curved edge, the flat mag. I'm claiming it for all men. Real men use. Real men use real mags. That's what real men mag on 10.
I think for colour they're wicked.
Real men don't have edges. No, if you have a straight mag, in all seriousness, if you have a straight mag versus a curved mag, right, I prefer straight mags. The corner, this is a day two tattoo lesson, right? The corner of any mag, straight mag, is a three-liner. Doesn't matter how big it is. You can have a 45 mag, as long as it's straight, the corner of that mag is a three-liner. And this is something that I teach all of my apprentices on like day two or three, something like that. This is really early doors knowledge, right? Everybody knows this. And when you meet someone who's never seen a mag used on its side, who's a professional working tattooist, who's not a bad tattooist, you go, like, what is the level of knowledge that we're getting down to?
But is it
what
because
I worry about is how little do people know that are working in shops now?
No, but is that because, like, you've literally got people that have either never finished an apprenticeship or have never done an apprenticeship and don't know fuck all about tattooing, and they're there online going, this is one of the videos, right? He was going about like coil machines and springs and membranes on cartridges. And he's basically there going, the membrane on a cartridge controls the needle depth. I'm like, no, it doesn't. The needle depth is controlled by the fucking grip that you put the fucking cartridge in.
The
membrane has got tension.
Controls the needle depth.
Yeah,
that's an interesting
just
idea.
Fucking retarded.
So how do you adjust the membrane to adjust your needle hang then?
Fuck knows. Perhaps that's why his tattoos look so shit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But I mean,
he seems like a nice guy. Don't get me wrong. You seem like a nice guy, but you are saying things to people that is wrong and is dangerous. But the good thing about it, and this is the point I'm trying to make.
So I'm still unpacking that statement because there's a number of errors in that statement.
There's many fucking
there?
Errors
there's
in all
many,
of
these. There's a lot of errors in that statement.
But the point I'm getting at, right, is while you've got this current phase of tattooing where you've got the turkey teeth people like you keep saying, and you've got the boutique,
the Essex gumshoe,
you got the beautician style, you've got that aesthetics, right, which is very much aimed at, like, you know, the fine line kind of style of tattooing, like, that's all gonna be fucking gone in a couple of years, because what will happen is all the tattoos will look like bags of shit. It's already happening now. I'm getting the amount of people that are fucking coming to my shop and going, can you cover these up? Because they've healed and aged terribly.
Yeah.
It's just going to end up going back to, you know, tattooists that do tattoos and they aren't fucking.
I mean, I've got to be honest, my daughter does fine line.
But she doesn't properly.
No, but what I was going to say about it, she does do them properly. But because she does them properly, there's studios really close to us that are really well-known artists that she's regularly touches up tattoos that are less than a month old.
Yeah.
And that's because they're just, I actually,
but do you know
I felt really bad. You know when you go, oh my God, I'm going to have to not put my foot in it. I actually asked somebody when they came in that if they'd had laser on a tattoo.
Yeah, but you know why that is,
it genuinely looked like it had been lasered to me.
They're not fucking using black ink. They put in all these tattoos in with like fucking medium and dark grey medium grey.
It's quite worrying. They're done incorectly. They're pretty bad.
So
what's your thoughts? Like, I'm getting the wind up. We got fucking crew and everything now. We got producer Karen. We've got like fucking floor manager.
Wait,
Jay.
What's your thoughts? Fine line tattoos, bullshit or not?
No, I think they can be done. I think they've got to be done by a tattooist, though. They've got to be tattooed by somebody who can tattoo.
But fine line tattoos, don't give a fuck who you are, right? They have a lifespan.
All tattoos have got a lifespan.
No, but like they have a shorter lifespan than, say, like a traditional rose, for example.
Well, I would argue that in the same way, dot work has a lifespan, because dot work won't always stay dot work. Eventually, it'll become grey shading.
Yeah.
So it won't always be dot work. And I think you've got to look at it like that. You've got to look What you've got to look for, if you do a style like fine line or dot work, you've got to look for graceful degradation. Think about what that tattoo will look like in 10 years. Like, for instance, if you're a black and grey artist and you use a lot of whites, have a look at the tattoo before you put the white in. Just in, so then you know, if all the white falls out, that's what'll happen.
Now,
if
that is exactly how it should be. Right, the tattoo should look fucking perfect without any white.
So if you're doing dot work, will the tattoo look nice if it's done in smooth shading? Yeah. If you're doing fine line, will it look okay if all those lines are about a third thicker and all soft? If it won't, maybe rethink the design.
Yeah, but then this goes back to it, where you have people that don't have a fucking clue. And they are doing tattoos, they don't understand how it works, how it ages, and they're just going, doing it for the gram, because they've seen it on Instagram.
So that's our question to you. Is tattooing fucked? Or is this just where tattooing is evolving to? Are the people that have got the hairdresser-style salons just a symptom of what the audience wants? Or are they culturally appropriating tattooing and selling it to the middle classes and gentrifying what we do and destroying this art form for a quick buck? I'm not sure at the moment. I'm the jury is out for me. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. What do you think of all of this? Would you, like me, prefer to have tattooing weird haberdashery type shops with, you know, a smoking Indian and a leopard and all that in the background? Or do you like having these completely blank white rooms with nothing in them that look like more like art galleries than tattoo studios? What's your thoughts on it? Is tattooing fucked? Is it just another stage of tattooing? Is this just evolution? You know, I don't know. What do you think? Let us know in the comments down below. Let's see what everybody thinks about it. This has been That Tattoo Show. I've been Paul.
And I've been Chris.
See, I remember to get out of the way of that camera angle. Tell the lawyer, tell the judge, tell the priest. Tell all the new tattooers, stop using fucking Helvetica. If you overuse any font, it just always becomes Comic Sans. Do your typography properly, kids.
And see
you
next week.
That Tattoo Show is made possible in part with the help of all of our friends. So thank you to Rob from Electrum, to Perry from Total Tattoo Magazine, and to our growing band of executive producers, the Purple Handed Preachers. We can't do this without you, and we appreciate every single one of you. So on behalf of myself and Chris, thank you all sincerely for your help. We really do appreciate it.